This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In case you missed the last segment, people have thoughts. For the 940, this is equal to, if not greater than, Luca leaving.
From the 214, I know Jerry did this. He called the Rangers and demanded this happen to get Mike off the fan.
You're like, I want to better
thank,
hire
if that
him.
Was the case, I would like to thank Jerry Jones for demanding I get the TV analyst job for the Rangers.
After all the nice things you've done for Jerry Jones, He's like, this is the least I can do. So Mike will be heading off his last show with us for good. Will be February 28th. And we'll be in surprise for that. So that's a nice little coincidence right there.
Some people will be surprised that day. They didn't hear it today, and they're going to be like,
that is true.
What?
And that's why I got a Tolo. Let's go ahead and give me cut number 12, because the beginning of Anthony Davis's first game with the Mavericks, it was great.
Thompson gambled going after it, and to the basket, Davis putback jam. And how is that for a first 4 minutes and 26 seconds in a Mavericks uniform?
It was great. You know what? I'm going to live with that feeling for just one more second. Go ahead and give me cut number 11. Let's just, like, it's kind of like when we had to make the mic announcement. We were delaying it for as long as possible. You know what? Give me one more happy clip. Give me cut number 11, and Anthony Davis is still doing cool stuff.
Davis on the post up this time. Eason, another good defender. Davis scores.
Kevin, I had never seen, I've seen Luka like that, where he's like, I've been waiting so long to go show everybody.
Yeah.
I've been waiting so long to show. And you know what? It was almost as if Jason Kidd had been whispering in his ear all week, hey, when you show up, you gotta make this crowd love you. You gotta give them a reason. And when he walked out onto the court and started the first play, that one to Gafford, I was like, oh my gosh, he can pass from the post? What are we doing right now? And then you just started to see more and more of his offensive arsenal. But Kevin, they finished the game with 18 blocks. 18 blocks! Like, that was, everybody was committed to defense in this game. That whole first half, I was like, okay. And then I tweeted it around somewhere in the middle of the first quarter, and I said, if he can just stay healthy. And everybody replied back, he can't. And I was like, yeah, I know, but he can't.
Which is interesting, because, you know, like, he's played more games in the last 3 years than Luka.
Mm-hmm.
But
he has been,
we didn't get all the way through three quarters. He had scored 26 points.
Before we go there, PJ looked like he was able to do some different stuff defensively too, because of what
Anthony Davis
provided as the four. And so it looked like PJ could. And so anytime the smaller guys, the forwards and guards went to the basket, PJ was on them blocking shots. It felt like, okay, what Nico said was right. They really want to focus on the defensive end of the court, and it looked like they were a real team defense.
And we'll get to this from the 214. Are y'all Mavs fans or Luka fans? Y'all can't see the team is way better without Luka. So, like, I don't know if you were watching this team during this season, but that is demonstrably untrue. Like, this team was significantly worse without Luka. Like, that has been shown throughout the season. And even if that's the case, that's fine. The player you got to not replace him, because I know it's a different fit, but essentially replace him, got hurt before the end of the third quarter. 26 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists. Anthony Davis made both of his three-pointers, had 3 blocks. He was having an incredible game. And then he got hurt. And I was like, oh, crap. And then Anthony Davis said, he's fine. It's not really that big of a deal. He said the leg got a little bit of tight, a little bit of a spasm. Obviously, he was coming back from another injury, and I was like, okay.
It was just weird to see a guy non-contact go crippled to the ground. You know, like just immediately fall to the ground. You're like, and he grabbed that area that had already been injured. And that was the, hold on. And I agree with this, Kevin, the person that texted in. He clearly wasn't over his injury yet, but they needed him to show. They needed him to be out there so the fans would be like, oh, that's what we're getting. They needed that, and then it cost them a little bit.
And so I was like, he said he's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. Then, unfortunately, you get the news that Anthony Davis has a left abductor strain. I don't actually think there's a B in there. So adductor strain, and he is going to miss your mic's off. You're going to miss. He's going to miss several weeks. And then there are some people who have said, I think you should put it more indefinitely. Could be a month plus. So, like, best case scenario, he's going to be out several weeks. And this is the, you feel like you got the whole Anthony Davis experience in that one game, right? Because you're like, hey, he can damn sure be a top five player in the league. And he, you like his defense. And then
his
he got hurt
in one game.
Yeah. And then you got hurt and you're like, oh, yeah. That's the other part.
What'd you feel about the Max Christie experience?
Yes. So I have really liked Max Christie the last couple of games, but it's weird because I feel like I'm talking myself into being excited about like a young player who can be very good. But this trade that I still think the Mavericks got swindled on was for Anthony Davis, and he's already hurt. And by the way, I'm sorry to be this guy. Max Christie is questionable tonight due to a right shoulder strain. So hopefully questionable.
It's going to be like the Rondo trade where it ended up being Dwight Powell was what we got for him.
The whole team. It could end up being Max Christie and somebody you draft in 2029. Or I hope that they're like, hey, you know what? He's fine. He's back in 2 weeks, starts to kick ass, stays healthy the rest of the way. But like, it's hard to feel that way when the first game you have him, he gets hurt.
But he was great.
He was.
He could have put up 60 and 30 in this game.
Okay, that's fine. I would much rather him be significantly worse, or at least somewhat worse, than playing one game every month.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't this put making the playoffs at all in jeopardy? Like, major
I can see
jeopardy.
That. I mean, absolutely.
Golden State's out of the playoffs right now at 500. So you're going to have to go approximately a month is your hope.
Yes.
Derek Lively ain't coming back in this month.
True.
So you're now back to like, all right, this is your team. Kyrie has to stay super healthy.
Yep.
To even play around 500. Remember when Luka was out and Derek Lively was out for some of this too. So you're going to be playing without Luka, obviously the rest of the franchise. You're going to be playing without Derek Lively, most likely the rest of this regular season. I believe you were 6-12 in those 18
Something along
games.
Those lines,
like when Luka got hurt on Christmas Day, I think you ended up being 6-12 in those games. It might have ended up going 7-12, but it was something around that. So that's about what you should expect to go the rest of the way until Anthony Davis gets healthy.
Yeah, and just somebody threw this out there. I mean, you can make judgments all you want. Like this, it's way too early from the 6-8-2. What happens if Luka goes out tonight and re-aggravates his calf or his ankle? What does everyone make of the trade then? That's way too soon to make any final decisions. My thoughts about the trade are exactly the same as they were a little bit more than a week ago. I just don't understand how you got that little of a return. Even if Max Christie is playing better than anticipated, you still got fleeced on this deal. And then to see the player that we're all excited about, but all a little nervous about, get hurt in his first game, it doesn't help. So, like, Anthony Davis can come back in a month and be like, I've never been more healthy in my entire life. And I would be like, hell yeah.
You're also going to hold your breath the entire time.
But in the back of my mind, anytime he holds his, you know, his groin, his leg, whatever, I'm going to be like, oh, crap.
Usually, though, when you enter your mid-30s, you get healthier if you've had problems with injuries in your
20s. No!
No?
Sarcasm.
Yeah, that was sarcasm right
It'll
there.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, and not having Lively either, like this group,
yeah.
What they liked, what they wanted to do with all their size, it just becomes more difficult now as you try to hit the stretch of this, back stretch of this season.
I get that there's still hope from the Mavs and maybe hardcore Mavs fans, no matter what, that they're still going to make the NBA Finals and win the championship this
year. Sure.
But at this point, when you're looking at Derek Lively, you're looking now at Anthony Davis, the major injuries, probably other people are going to get hurt. Like, let's just be honest. There's going to be some games Kyrie can't play here coming up. There's going to be some games other people can't play. I guess if you're a diehard no matter what, at this point, not that you're rooting for losses, but to get the 10th or 11th pick, you're in a 2 to 3 year window. And then this thing is totally destroyed. So are you just hoping, all right, well, let's get a better pick? Not that you take the pick, but you use the pick to get another 30-something-year-old player to try to make a run in 26, 27, and then this thing kind of explodes on you, and you're like, who cares?
Doesn't Nico have a 3-year contract? Like, he's kind of looking at his 3-year window, and then he may not care after that. Like, that might be where
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
His mind is,
but I'm just saying, if
beyond
have,
that, doesn't matter to
right
me.
Right now they have the 18th pick. If they stayed in, I believe they're the 8 seed right now. If they stayed in
Correct.
That situation, they would be approximately the 18th pick. But there's a strong likelihood.
You think that, they'll trade the pick?
Yeah, but you're not gonna win a lot of games the rest of the
Oh, yeah.
So,
for sure.
So if you go down to the 11th pick, it becomes a more valuable pick. Maybe not for you to take a guy that you think can develop in a year or two. But maybe you're like, well, look, we are in a do or die situation. I did a deal to put us in a do or die 2-year window. So what's the point in picking a dude 11th if I can trade that pick, the Lakers pick, your 2031 pick, Daniel Gafford, Klay Thompson, PJ Washington, and go get Kevin Durant and go, now we're really in a 2-year window, but I did the best I could with this 2-year situation.
Now, a fascinating add-on to all of this is, what are the Lakers going to do? Because their trade for Mark Williams has been nixed. Mark Williams failed the physical, and so
Anthony Davis passed the physical?
That's
good news.
That is true.
Right?
And
that is
unfortunately, then he...
Yeah, what's wrong with Mark Williams? Because if there's a minor injury, you're like, I don't care. Like, we want Mark Williams for Luka's, they're hoping, a 10-year run in Los Angeles.
Well, and the Hornets had to do the, I don't know, quote version of the walk of shame, because their quote was, after the other team aggressively pursued Mark, we made the difficult decision to move him. We've always had great respect for Mark's talent, work ethic, and character. We are thrilled to see him rejoin our roster as a dynamic presence at the starting center position.
Yeah, we wanted him all along. That was our guy. We got him back.
We made the trade because we thought it would make our team worse.
And we got him back.
So now that we got him back,
it's going to make us better.
But unfortunately, Mavs fans, if you're hoping that somehow retroactively that could happen with the Anthony Davis Luka trade, it's not going to happen. It's done. Okay. Cannot be undone.
Yeah, well, that does...
Except for when Luka becomes a free agent and comes back to Dallas. That's not going to happen either.
Is it
for people that are asking that?
Yeah, my wife was asking me that question about Luka, and I said, there's less than a 1% chance. Do you think he wants anything to do with the Adelson family? Like, it doesn't matter. Even if Nico leaves, like, there's...
Yeah.
They you'd have to sell the team back to Mark Cuban, and maybe, like, when he's 32 or 33... Like, maybe he would come back, but I don't think there's that connection.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Because my wife is not. She's like, you're selling all of your Luka cards? I'm like, yes, I'm selling all my Luka cards. Nothing against Luka. He didn't choose this trade, but I have no emotional connection anymore to Luka Doncic.
Is this an odd time for you to get out of, or like an oddly good time for you to get out of sports radio, too?
In a way,
because
yes,
you're
to
like,
be honest,
I don't care about this team.
The passion for the Cowboys has just gone down over time. And I, like, this is my opinion. I don't think Jerry Jones, I think he's very smart, and I think he's intentionally not doing his best. That upsets me as a fan.
Sure.
And then now that you traded Luka, and not that I was just like, I'm just Luka and that's nothing else, but I look at it and I was struggling with the NBA, and then they do this and I'm like, I have no emotional connection to Anthony Davis or Max Christie or Kyrie Irving. Like, I know they're on the Mavs, but I'm like, this isn't fun to me. And the sport, the rules have changed so much, it's not fun. People sitting out, it's not fun. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, it is tough. It's tough when you're not really a Cowboys fan and you were like hardcore.
Yeah.
And then the way the NBA is going, I'm not pleased with it at all. And now I'm really not pleased with the Dallas Mavericks. So in a way, yes, it does help that at this time things fell into place where it would be tougher for me, as people have pointed out, it would be tougher for me to do this job when I have no emotional connection. But I do know a lot of people do this job without any emotional connection. They don't care if the Cowboys win or lose.
Sure.
They don't care if the Mavericks win or lose. They don't care if the Rangers win or lose. They're just here in Dallas, and that's the job that they do.
Couple quick more notes for you. Mark Cuban apparently urged Nico not to go through with the Luka trade, but by the time he had like been informed of everything that was going on, it was essentially too late. And then Mavericks assistant coach Marko Milic, not Darko Milicic. Yes, I am, has decided to leave the team. He's from Slovenia and didn't want to stay with the Mavs now that Luka's not there anymore.
Makes sense.
It really does. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, back to the Super Bowl. What was the least entertaining Super Bowl you've ever seen? Was last night in the mix? We'll do an X right here on The Fan.
We're going to run some clock, or maybe throw the dagger.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. What was the least entertaining Super Bowl you've ever seen? Was this one in the mix? 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You want to hop in on the Twitch, on the YouTube. Would love to hear from you because this game was thoroughly not entertaining, not only because of the blowout nature, but because you sat there for at least a half, maybe two and a half quarters thinking, crap, freaking Philadelphia is about to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would say, Corey, for me, it was the first ever Super Bowl. It's the first and last for me is the one in New York when Seattle, I don't even know what the score was. It felt like 40-0 at halftime over Denver.
Yeah. Oh, XLVIII.
Yeah, so that was the New York Super Bowl.
Yes.
43-8.
I was like, I don't know.
43-8.
And that was horrible.
Was that the snap over the head on the very first play?
It all fell apart immediately.
And by halftime, you're like,
sucked.
This game's over. And you thought it was going to be this great game because you're like, Peyton Manning's offense versus Seattle's defense. And you're like, this is not a matchup.
Yeah.
And nobody, I don't know. I'm sure there were some people, but I think most of us thought it was going to be a close game.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're just like at halftime, you're like, at least for me, I'm like, this is over. There's nothing to really watch now.
Mike's dead on with that one being the most recent one that like stuck out that was just boring because Kevin, I believe we were still Knights and we saw that the adult website numbers went up like dramatically after the first quarter of that game. But I would say the other one would be XXIX. That is San Francisco versus San Diego Chargers.
Give me cut number 17 because this Super Bowl also sucked.
From the 44, they fake it to Floyd. Young to the air. Young to Jerry Rice. Touchdown, San Francisco.
The Cowboys should have been in it.
And
you know that would have been three straight Super Bowl victories had they been in it. However, pass interference wasn't called.
This felt like the first Super Bowl since Super Bowl III, and then that ended up being a shocking outcome in which nobody really thought the game was in doubt. Like some of the other ones we'll bring up, you're like, I could see how this team would win, that team would win. Everybody knew that the 49ers were going to smoke the Chargers because we had already seen the Super Bowl. And Corey, to your point, so not only was that game boring, 49-26, and I don't even think it really felt that close, but you're like, we should have been in this game. And the Cowboys weren't.
Honestly, I was thinking, as I was having conversations with my kids going into the game, I was thinking to myself, man, there was a time when it did feel like those kinds of blowouts were, like, you could predict them. You could almost predict those kinds of blowouts. Like, the AFC does not have a team that can match these 2-3 NFC teams. And vice versa. It just seems like that era kind of disappeared for whatever reason. And then this game happened. You know, like I was like, this is going, like Mike said, this is going to be a close game all week, Kevin. That was exactly where I was. It's too difficult. This is a closer one than I can think because Philadelphia was better than most opponents that I thought were out there. And then it turned out that Kansas City wasn't as good as I thought they were by any means.
Now, there's an early favorite that is taking over on the fan text for the most boring or worst Super Bowl. from the 214-682, another 682, 817, another 817. The crux of it is the Rams versus the Patriots a few years back was so boring.
At least you weren't sure who is going to win, though.
That's true. But man, was that game boring. And I believe that was that 6 years ago now?
Oh, did that game total 13 points?
16. It was 13-3.
Yeah, it was terrible. And the only like really great play in the game was the big pass to Gronk. Other than that, there was really nothing exciting about that game.
And McVay admitted he psyched himself out. He was like, well, when Belichick does this, I'm going to do this. And then like,
that'll get you.
Didn't have a good game plan. So I got one more I wanted to throw out there. This is cut number 16. I remember this Super Bowl and just being like crushed by how terribly boring it was.
Picked up by Jermaine Lewis. He gets a block from Harris.
He might have a
dash, and they knock out McDaniel. And there's Thomas, and he can't stop it. And return.
It was the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Giants. Because, like, you knew it was going to be tough for the Giants. And then I believe it was the Giants who had a kickoff return as well. And you're like, oh, hey, maybe here we go. And then immediately you're like, well, never mind.
This one's over with.
Yeah, and that game sucked. I did like seeing the Giants lose, but that game was boring as hell.
It does kind of lend itself to, and I know you can't do it, but the series is so much better than the single game. Although, like, the ratings don't say that.
Sure.
But you get to see a team go through as a fan, you go through an emotional roller coaster for 7 days or 14 days, depending. I like the series more than one game.
I know it was just one game, but if after watching that, you would feel like, and I get, we feel that if you lose by 20 points in the first round of a playoff basketball game, you're like, we are done.
Yeah.
But then it seems like, you know, teams can bounce back and make a series of it. If those teams played each other the next 4 weeks, it's hard to think the Chiefs would win a game.
Based on how that looked, yeah.
But I understand. The Eagles played close to a perfect game. Close to. Not perfect, but close to. And Kansas City played the worst game you could possibly watch them play all around. So it's just tough. Like, to your point, a series, I'm like, gosh, if I saw that game next week, if like the rematch is next week, best of five, I'd be like, I don't think the Chiefs have a chance.
But we did see the Rangers against Houston in that, was it game five?
Yeah, where they gave up Altuve hit the home run in the eighth inning, I believe.
Yeah, you just kind of walked away from that going, oh my gosh, the Astros found it, and we're never going to be able to beat them.
Three times in a row here.
Yeah.
So, your point, yeah.
No home team won a game in that series. Somebody asked this, if you weren't a Cowboys fan, was Super Bowl 27 boring? So CBS has already updated their list.
Tell you
they had a list. Yeah, I don't know, because I thought it was awesome. They updated their list. They put it out before the Super Bowl of like most to least entertaining Super Bowls. And that one was number 52 on the list with the bringing up of, it should have been 59-17, which would have been the most points ever scored in the Super Bowl. But this game from last night came in at number 57. The only ones worse, dead last, was the 49ers Chargers. And 58 on the list was that Seahawks Broncos game that you were talking about, where the first play went haywire and then the entire game was an ass kicking. This goes down last night per CBS as the third worst Super Bowl of all time.
Oh, man.
And
the Eagles fans are going to be, I don't care. Just like us with the Rangers, right? Don't care.
Yeah.
Do not care. We want it.
Or with the Cowboys against Buffalo being 52 on the list. I thought that was the greatest game of football I'd ever seen in my entire life and probably still do. Now, one saving grace for me, because I didn't really like the commercials either, and I know we'll get into that later. I don't know what Tubi was thinking when they were like, hey, what if we change people's heads into movie genres? People will love that, right? and nobody was like, what? Don't do that. And then they're like, what if we did multiple commercials with that? And somebody's like, definitely don't do that. I like the halftime show quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like many halftime shows, I found out that many people think it was the greatest thing ever or the worst thing ever. I don't know how much middle ground there is for people who are like, I thought it was okay. I liked it a lot.
My favorite representation of this, Mike, is the video of Pat McAfee dancing in his seat while Nick Saban is sitting there looking at him like he's an idiot. That's exactly like the split on this is some people loved it. Some people didn't get it. And they're like, eh, that's fine. I enjoyed it. My whole house, everybody was rocking with it. So they were happy.
I don't know him. He could have walked by me in New Orleans or stayed in the same hotel. I don't know what Kendrick Lamar looks like. I don't know any of his music. Because I don't know any of his music, it sounds like a foreign language to me in that he's talking so fast. I don't understand a word he's saying for the most part. And I get it. Kendrick Lamar is very popular. Millions of people love his music, love his style. I just don't. I have never even tried to check in to Kendrick Lamar stuff.
Okay.
So for me, I was bored. Not that I'm saying it's a good show or bad show.
When you
literally have no idea who the person is and you have no idea of any of his music, it's like, it's not for me. Like, this performance isn't for me. I don't care about his music.
And if
so, I don't have an opinion on it was good or bad. I just, like, I don't know what he's saying. And
it feels like you get stuck either way because I already saw some people like, we need Metallica to do the next Super Bowl halftime show. And I was like, well, guess what? You're going to have millions and millions of people who are also like, who the hell is this?
This stunk.
Yeah.
It wasn't any good.
There's a bunch of old people out there. And I'm like,
I don't think there's one musical act that everybody can get behind. There's just not one there because there's nobody that crosses everything to make everybody
happy.
And
we love to hate as a society.
Yeah. I would just like for anybody to go to a Ranger game this year when it's 70 degrees outside, but hopefully the roof would be open. But they close the roof, and I want you to wear leather gloves and a leather jacket and jeans and see how much you sweat, and then start running around for 5 minutes.
I was impressed with that.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have like a heat meltdown if I was in that. Like at some point I'd Adam Levine it and I don't have his body. I'd be like, here's my gut. I cannot wear this leather anymore.
Sometimes I forget how short he is.
Yeah.
But
he made himself look like pretty tall most of the time.
Okay. 5'5", 5'6". Look.
Standing on top of the car, standing on the steps high.
Yeah.
Like he made himself look tall. But when he got down on the field, man, was going across the field, I was like, man, I would be dying right now.
Crowd made him tall as well when they all just were like, hey, Minor! Dude. And
the other guy next to him?
No.
No, that's...
Oh. That was DJ Mustard.
Yeah.
Oh. DJ Mustard. All right. I have no clue. I literally have never heard of him in my life.
And then SZA was there. Serena Williams popped up, which I have to admit, I didn't get that. I was like, what is Serena Williams doing there? I had no idea that she had like dated Drake or anything like that.
And had thoughts.
Yeah. So I saw that on Twitter after the fact, but I know there's a lot of people who loved it. There's a lot of people who hated it. I don't know how much middle ground there is. I really like Kendrick Lamar.
Lamar, did they not like the show? Like, I don't know. I'm asking a question. If you like Kendrick Lamar, did you just not think
it was
a good show?
Somebody did text in and they said, I get it, but I just didn't like it.
My son likes Kendrick Lamar a lot, my older son, and he liked the performance quite a bit.
Yeah, Prince might be everybody keeps recommending Prince was probably the crowd pleaserist of all of them.
Yeah. Because
he was great.
And there was, I don't know if people are going to go back and watch it again, but there was a lot at work in the Kendrick Lamar halftime show that maybe people didn't care for or didn't get on first look.
I watched a 5.5-minute breakdown
Ooh.
Of his 30-second commercial clip announcing that he was going to do it.
Oh, wow.
So I imagine there's going to be podcasts and all sorts of breakdowns on every little detail of this and why it happened. And I'm ready to read all of it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we got plenty more football to do. So let's do some gridiron gravy next right here on The Fan.
Hurts is back. Hurts has plenty of time. He's looking. He fires. He completes it. Touchdown, AJ Brown!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Got gridiron in just a second. But wanted to throw this out there. Luka Doncic put out a new message. It's been so sad to see and learn more about the damage from the wildfire since I landed in LA. I can't believe it, and I feel for all the kids who lost their homes, schools, and places where they used to play with their friends. His foundation is donating $500,000 for the immediate recovery efforts in the aftermath of, obviously, those devastating wildfires.
And he's a good guy, too, huh?
He is.
Wow. Stinks that we lost him, Kevin.
Yeah.
But you know what? Thanks, Luca, for being a nice dude and doing that for their community.
And no, for the record, as far as I know, Nico has nothing to do with Mike leaving the show.
Somebody just put, thanks a lot, Nico.
I mean, as far as like, I'm aware, this could be funny. Something that's way above my pay grade. And I'd be like, oh, wow, really?
I have jokes. I will not say them.
Yeah, I could.
For safety purposes.
Sure. Right now.
Like that Eagles player.
Let's say we go around the entire NFL. Jeez. And dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
It probably won't surprise you to know that Saquon Barkley, he talked about how it was cool to break the rushing record in case you missed it, and it was on his birthday. Saquon Barkley broke the NFL single season rushing record, and this is inclusive of the postseason. He went beyond Terrell Davis, who did it, I believe, back in 1998. And if I'm wrong about that, 1997, I apologize. So the most ever rushing yards accumulated in a season by Saquon Barkley. And he was like, hey, that's great. But the trophy is what I'm here for.
That's because that trophy just put him there, right?
Sure.
And he's going to have a jacket.
I'm not sure about that yet. Because it's just different with every other position except for
Derrick
quarterback.
Henry's already there?
Derrick Henry's already there. I think he has much more prolific stats and achievements than Saquon Barkley.
Injuries have been a problem for Barkley for sure.
For sure. I do think he'll make the Hall of Fame. Not yet.
That was another thing to add to the resume.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And I think that he looks at it that way. Like, that dude's...
For sure.
Dude, he had that chance. Yeah, he had it. And he's like, no, I want to go get something else. That's what's more important.
And it's weird in the world of athletics that this feels like an afterthought. He also earned $250,000 in a contract bonus for them winning the Super Bowl, which is weird because it feels like in his world, in athletes' world, in some athletes' worlds, you're like, oh, neat. Put it on the pile. But like for most everybody listening, you'd be like, what? $250,000? This is going to change my entire life.
Yeah. And do you do something special with that $250,000? Like, do you get it in crisp $100 bills and then stack it up in a glass box and you're like, that's my Super Bowl winnings?
See, I would want a briefcase.
Okay.
I saw you to Amazon and they have on sale right now a two-story house, but it's made of the crate things or whatever, like for $23,000. So you can buy 10 of those.
Oh, crate homes.
Yeah, I guess you can buy more than
10 of those.
I don't
know
the taxes.
And you can be like, I bought that. I bought all those crate homes.
Huh. You can buy crate homes.
I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the concept of crate homes.
Go up to Peavy Road at Mockingbird, and three of them overlook the lake.
They put like two of them together for your downstairs, and then they put one on top.
Yeah.
For your upstairs. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. I'm really sorry.
You were thinking like egg crates?
Yes, I definitely was. Okay, hey, I'm sorry about that. I see what you're saying now, and you could stack the crates. I get it. But I was seriously thinking you meant like egg crates, and I was like, that's great.
What do you call them?
They're shipping containers. Home.
So maybe you do that.
Okay.
But taxes.
Yeah, tariffs. Pay taxes on the property.
And those tariffs are going to get you.
But wasn't what you're getting is a tip, though. It's just an extra. So
that's true. No, those aren't going to be taxed soon. That's a good point.
What do you think? Am I right?
Hold on. I don't have no clue.
It's a bonus.
Yeah. It's like a tip.
Tips don't get taxed in the future.
They're working on that.
Oh.
I don't know if that'll actually.
I just said tip me in cash. So I don't have to claim it.
That is against the law. That is tax fraud, my friend.
$2.15 an hour.
Yeah. Randy Moss, straight cash, homie.
Okay. All right. Let's go, I guess, from that to in the first half. The Eagles ran 39 offensive plays, and the Chiefs had 23 total yards.
Gosh. And that was the part where you're like, okay, let's run the ball. Like, yeah. That was the thing I was like, guys, y'all got to run the ball because they're getting so much pressure.
Sure.
And Isaiah Pacheco said, oh, there's Jordan Davis. Oh, there's Jalen. Like, every time they gave him the ball, it just got tackled. I was like, man, this front four for the Eagles is proof that a dominant pass rush continues to be one of the main factors in being a champion.
And it was just the timing of Tom Brady weighing in on how much he liked it.
I love after that they run the ball now.
Back-to-back runs for a total of 1 yard, and it was 3rd and 9. He goes, I think it's a great strategy. I was like, hold on.
He did, and he's right.
He is.
Slow it down. Get your team kind of calmed down just a little bit. It did not work.
It was just the moment in which he chose it after the second run. I was like, maybe run that back, Tom. Maybe say that after the first run. Be like, now we'll see how effective it is. But yeah.
It has to be so demoralizing when you're out there in the do or die game. And not that the Kansas City offense has been good this year. It's been above average at best, right? But you're just, we can't do anything. We can't run. We can't pass. We can't block. We can't get open. Like, there was nothing they could do. And you got, like, I don't know, about the 7-minute mark left in the second quarter. I'm like, they literally can't do anything.
Yes.
They would show the overhead view as Patrick Mahomes was getting pressured. And I'm like, there's literally nowhere he can release the ball to that somebody looks like they might become open at any point. So
the
he's
coverage
getting pressured.
Was fantastic by
nobody's
the
getting open.
I'm with you on that.
And that puts too much pressure on their defense to be perfect.
What do you do when you go to the sideline? Hey, you need to block a lot better. All right, if I do, is somebody getting open? The answer is no.
Yeah,
all right, you need to get open. By the time I get open, my quarterback is already flushed out of the pocket. Like, go to the sideline. There's nothing we can do.
Also, if you're wide open, catch it, DeAndre Hopkins. I'm just saying.
Fair.
Just the one time when I thought, all right, here they go. He was running for his life, and he's like, here, you're wide open.
Probably
I'm going to give it to
you. Sky Moore will come back next year and fix the problem.
Now, it's still a lot of money, but the get-in price for the Super Bowl was the lowest in 6 years per most of the big ticket brokers.
Really?
You could get in, Corey, for the low, low price of $2,825.
So $3,000.
That was the cheapest seat.
I'm going to tell you something. I guess I would. And my kids don't play football. I don't know if I'd want to pay that much money if my kids were in the game.
What?
Yeah, my kids give me a free ticket.
You got Rangers money now.
Free ticket, yeah, I'm in.
Definitely, yeah.
If they're like, hey, you got to sit in the last row in the upper deck. I'll be like, can I just hang
out? What if they said you sit in the last row of the lower bowl?
For $3,000?
That's right.
Well, I'm assuming the lowest ticket price was way up in the upper
deck. To watch your kid play.
You get somehow at face value or something. By the way,
I hope this Ranger job works out. I need more money to pay. Because I'm assuming this wife wants to go. That's her child, too.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister probably want to go. Now we're up to over $10,000. Is he playing?
Okay, so
he's
you
starter.
Want to know
he's the starter.
Where he sits in the hierarchy of the team.
He's third string quarterback.
Kenny Pickett got in the game.
I don't want to waste your bonus already.
Kenny Pickett completed a pass.
Damn right. My older son, Brandon, he said at the beginning, he goes, I wonder what kind of odds you could get for Kenny Pickett to be the Super Bowl MVP. And I said, I'll give you 100 to 1 right now. And he goes, I want double that. And I said, deal.
I mean, I wonder if they even had over-unders on what the backup quarterback's like passing numbers would be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know the Chiefs' backup quarterback.
Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
He was there on the sideline.
Second time.
Yeah, he's been there for two Eagles games, watching two Eagles championships. He's been the guy.
Dang.
Second time he got to see his backup take over and win the Super Bowl.
Well, that is amazing. Yeah. Isn't it the person who took his job?
Yeah.
So he saw Nick Foles win it while he was almost the MVP, and then he saw the person they chose over him win the MVP and the Super Bowl. That's pretty awesome.
So we need to go get Carson Wentz, and then whoever his backup is will win the Super Bowl. Or does it have to be in an Eagles uniform?
Ooh, I don't know how that magic works.
Thank you.
That is a good question.
I don't know if the Chiefs want to let Carson Wentz go. Devo. If you watch week 17.
He had his chance, and Romo told us.
So bad.
Or 18, sorry.
Devo Samuel has gotten permission to seek out a trade. If you're curious, like, what the betting odds look like. The favorite to get him, Washington Commanders, followed by the Chargers and the Panthers. The Dallas Cowboys are on the list, but they're like, I don't know, 10th at 16-1, if that interests you at all.
What does he not like about San Francisco? Is it the way that they ask him to play?
It's the way they distribute the ball.
I mean,
I guess those go hand in hand.
Yeah, just the way they ask him to play, he has to take a physical toll, but he's a physical player.
Did I see on social media that Debo was wearing an Eagles jersey at the at Super Bowl weekend or Super Bowl?
I'm not sure. I'm not disputing that.
I did not see that, so I don't know.
Okay.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers is apparently going to be on the move as well, unless he just retires.
He can't move anymore.
That's true. The Jets went to him and were like, hey.
No, he went to them. He flew to New York, didn't he? And then that's when they told him?
Okay.
Yeah, he flew back to New York and was like, all right, let's settle this.
I just heard
now.
It was the Jets' decision, and they're like, hey, we've had some great times. You seem super nice. by the way, the favorite to land, I guess, Aaron Rodgers is the Pittsburgh Steelers, followed by the 49ers, Saints, and the Raiders. So
does Tomlin really want to do that again?
I don't think so.
After just going through what he went through with Russ?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. Probably. I don't think so. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, are the Cowboys going to follow the Mavs' lead and go down the superstar trading route? Next on the Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.